we find six pictures or metaphors of spiritual progress. And Paul the Apostle wrote these to some Christians at Colossae to try to encourage them to continue to grow as Christians. I want to look at these six different pictures, these metaphors, as ways of encouraging us to examine our lives and to continue to challenge ourselves to continue to grow spiritually. The first metaphor is this, of that of a pilgrim, or walking. Look with me, verse 6 of Colossians 2. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. So walk in Him. Use the word pilgrim because this is another Bible word that may give us a related idea. For example, in 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, it says, Beloved, I beg you as sterners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. The idea of pilgrims, by definition, is one who journeys in foreign lands. We are pilgrims in the sense that our citizenship as God's people is in heaven, but yet we're sojourning or doing our pilgrimage on earth. And while we're here on this earth and looking forward to our heavenly home, the land where we'll never grow old, as Brother Ken prayed, we're to behave ourselves as heaven's citizens. Paul would state it like this. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him. Other versions have it, so live. Continue to live in Him. The word walk here suggests a way of life. And the admonishment here, the exhortation is that we continue to live in Christ as a way of life, to live the way He wants us to. And the idea here is to keep on walking in Him. Walking is a word of movement. It indicates progress, but also direction. And our direction is to be in the steps of Jesus. Our movement is to be closer to God. And our progress is to be as we become more and more like Jesus. But keep on walking in Him. Keep on living in Him is the idea. Because the problem is we often get sidetracked. We often get sidetracked. I didn't bring this out or didn't look it up, but one of my favorite little articles is entitled On the Way to the Barn. And it talks about this farmer that needed to do something in the barn. But on the way to the barn, he noticed a pile of wood that needed to be split. And so he went and split that wood. Then on the way to the barn, he saw something else that needed to be done. Long story short, by the end of the day, he hadn't gone to the barn to do that task that he intended to. But that illustrates how it's so easy for you and me to get sidetracked. The same is true. It can happen spiritually speaking. We take our eyes off of Jesus. We take our eyes off of the goal. We get sidetracked. And so we don't continue to grow. We don't keep on walking in Him as Paul is teaching here. In baptism, Paul is teaching us Jesus becomes our Savior and we also submit to Him as our Lord. As you therefore have received Jesus as Lord, so walk in Him. He's encouraging those who have been baptized into Christ, put legs on your faith. Live like you have Jesus as your Lord. Let your daily life give evidence that Jesus directs your decisions and your conducts. So live to demonstrate that Jesus is the Lord of your life. Keep following Him. 1 Peter 2:21 echoes, For to this were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. So with the idea of a pilgrim, as one whose citizenship is in heaven, but he's to behave as a citizen here on earth, how are we doing? How is our walk? Is our way of life lived as Jesus, as the Lord of our lives? That's one picture describing spiritual progress. But here's another picture, that of a tree, a deeply rooted tree. Notice in verse 7, we find these words, rooted and built up in Him. Paul says we're to be rooted in Christ. And again, the metaphor is that of a tree. We're to be rooted in Jesus. Now, obviously, unless hurricane winds change it, trees don't move around. And so the idea here is of stability. And it reflects our determination, our relationship with God through Christ. Our mind is fixed. Jesus is our Lord. We're committed to Him come what may. We have dug our roots down deep into Christ. And we are determined not to be removed from Him. The tense of the verb here, Paul is saying, means something happened in the past with consequences that continue through the present. In the past would be our decision to be baptized into Christ, to make Jesus the Lord of our life. That decision has continual consequences in our lives. What Paul is teaching us here, we're to continue to dig our roots down deep into Christ. By contrast, I want you to think about a tumbleweed. Now, some of us have seen tumbleweeds. I remember a picture of me as a little boy standing beside a tumbleweed that was three or four times my size. And this is about the largest one I've ever seen in a picture. Kind of dwarfs that vehicle behind it. But in West Texas, where Sylvia and I grew up, we would see tumbleweeds from time to time. I would even create tumbleweeds when I worked on a cotton farm, and I would hoe these certain type of bushy weeds. When they dried up, they'd become what were called tumbleweeds. Wind would blow them. Here's a scriptural description of a tumbleweed. Ephesians 4:14, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Those tumbleweeds would go everywhere the wind would blow them. That's the opposite idea of what Paul is teaching here. He's saying God doesn't want us to be like tumbleweeds, being tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. But He wants to be like deeply rooted trees. Listen to Ephesians 4. God wants us to come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should be no longer children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. He doesn't want us to be like a tumbleweed, and with every new doctrine that comes along, every new idea, every new teaching, be carried away by it. But rather, He wants us to be deeply rooted in Christ. Here's an Old Testament commentary on this idea. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And notice how he's described in the next verse. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. There's that deeply rooted tree. In contrast, verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Shades of tumbleweeds here. The chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So a second picture, a metaphor that pictures spiritual progress, are our roots down deep in Christ. Here's another picture. That of building a house. Colossians 2 verse 7, root, not only rooted in Christ, but being built up in Him. Built up in Him. That's an architectural term. We're to be built up in Christ. The metaphor is that of a construction project. And the verb here is in the present tense again, which means continuous action. It's ongoing. Buildings, as you know, do not pop up in an instant. They go up slowly, brick by brick, stone by stone. They don't happen by accident. There has to be conscious plan and effort. And I say that with architects and other builders in the audience. You know, there's a process, there's a plan, and there's time in order for the building to be built. That's the same metaphor Paul uses here, describing spiritual progress. We're to so grow in the sense that we're to continue to build our lives on the right foundation. This metaphor speaks of continual development and progress in our walk with Jesus. Now, other scriptures bear out that our foundation is on Christ. And that's a solid foundation, a solid platform on which to build our lives in Him. Listen to Luke chapter 6. Whoever comes to me, Jesus says, and hears my sayings and does them, I'll show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. I use Luke's account because it has the idea of digging down deep and making sure the foundation is on that rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ and His Word. And that's that solid foundation upon which we build our lives. But don't miss Paul's teaching here. This construction project is never completed. It's an ongoing project. It's never finished. We're always to be remodeling the temple of our lives so it looks more and more like Jesus. We take this task seriously, and because of that, we'll never finish. We'll die continuing to build our lives in Him. That's Paul's encouragement here. How are we doing as we build this building, build this temple for Christ? The next metaphor, the next picture, is that of a contract. And it comes from this statement in verse 7, established in the faith. Established in the faith. Commentators suggest that this term established or strengthened in other versions was a term that was used in law courts. It was used as a word in law courts of Paul's day to speak of contracts that were made legally binding. It meant an agreement that was unalterable, unchangeable. And in a sense, when we obey the gospel, when we receive Christ Jesus as our Lord in baptism, and He is our Savior, then we're to continue to walk in Him, and we have established a contract, if you will. And as we continue to grow, we can measure, am I remaining true to that contract, if you will, that I've made with Jesus? He's fulfilling His end, but am I remaining faithful to Him? Am I growing in my commitment? Am I making firm, more and more firm, my covenant with Jesus? So there's another picture that we can use to measure our spiritual progress. Followed by number 5, a school. A school. And it comes from this phrase, as you have been taught. Established in the faith, as you have been taught. You see, it's the Word of God that establishes us in the faith as it taught us. That's how faith is built, isn't it? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, there are no Christians. It's impossible to find Christians where the gospel has not been preached or taught. People only become Christians when they are taught the gospel. Christianity is a taught religion. It's not caught. It's taught. John 6, John quotes Isaiah 54 verse 13, a prophecy. He says, it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Who comes to the Father? Those who hear and learn from the Father. We'll never draw near to the Father unless we become disciples or students or learners. It's another way of measuring our spiritual growth. Because the Word teaches that we can't come to Christ, we can't become Christians, nor can we grow to maturity without being taught God's Word. So as we measure our spiritual progress, how am I doing in the school of Christian religion? Am I continually learning? Am I continually studying so that I may grow as God wants me to? But then a final picture, a metaphor that Paul uses in verse 7 is found in that last phrase. Abounding in it, in that faith, with thanksgiving. Abounding in it with thanksgiving. The picture here is of a river. Not just any river, but a river that's overflowing. And unfortunately, we've seen pictures of this in Tennessee. Overflowing its banks. But the idea here is we're to abound, overflow with thanksgiving. The picture again is a river out of control, flooding its banks. Water is gushing everywhere. It cannot be stopped. And Paul says that picture should describe the gratitude that comes from our lives as Christians. You put it in its context. How can we recognize a Christian who is continually growing? Paul says one way is that his or her life will overflow with thanksgiving. How can you know a Christian is growing? Are they thankful? Gratitude, Paul says, should reflect growth in our lives. One who is growing as a Christian grumbles less and expresses gratitude more often. So if we find ourselves grumbling more, what does that tell us about our spiritual progress? I know you would agree with me that Christians ought to be the most grateful people in the world today. This was no small thing with Paul. He taught, especially in this book, this small book of Colossians, that thanksgiving ought to be a characteristic of the child of God. Let me share with you some other references to gratitude in this book of Colossians. Colossians 1 verse 3, as he begins this letter, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." He begins it with gratitude. He continues in verse 12, how we're to give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Colossians 3:15, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful." Be thankful. Verse 17, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." And one more. Colossians 4, verse 2, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." What about our prayers? Are they filled with requests to God? Good. He wants us to come to Him with our requests. But are they also filled, are prayers also filled with thanksgiving? That's a good indicator of our spiritual progress. We're to overflow like a overflowing river with gratitude. Here have been six pictures we've seen in these two verses. And let me put it now in the form of questions as we measure our spiritual progress. Number one, are you walking as a pilgrim in the steps of Christ? Are you seeking to follow in His steps more and more closely each and every day? Number two, are you rooted and grounded in Christ as a tree whose roots dig down deep? Number three, are you continuing to build your life on the foundation of Christ and His Word? I've told you before, one of my favorite songs is, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." We're all a work in progress, but we have a part in that. Have we continued to build on that foundation of Jesus and His Word to continue to grow spiritually? Number four, have you grown stronger in your commitment to the contract that you've made with Christ to be faithful to Him? Again, He's kept His end. Have we been faithful to the terms of our commitment? Number five, have you continued to be a student of Christ with the intention of becoming more and more like Him? You see, not only learning from Him, but He is our model. In fact, He is our goal of being more and more like Him. And finally, like a river that overflows its banks, are you overflowing with gratitude to Christ? Are you thankful tonight? If you are a Christian tonight, you have every reason to be thankful. That even though there may be struggles that we face in our lives, we still have a Savior in Christ. We still have all the hope of heaven through Christ. We have the family of God in Christ. We have all those spiritual blessings that even when we're struggling in this life, we can still be thankful and joyful because of those blessings that we have. Do you know those blessings? Perhaps it's your desire tonight to become a child of God so that you may know those spiritual blessings that come through relationship with Jesus. Have you made Him your Lord? Have you surrendered your life in obedience to the gospel to be baptized into Christ so that your sins can be washed away? If not, why don't you do that tonight? And if we've lost our focus, if we haven't been growing as we should, perhaps we need the prayers of the church to help us and the encouragement of our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you want to express that, won't you let that be known? And won't you come right now as we stand and sing?